Women's Shir, Sharabuddha Holokim, Sunday night, Aleph Adar Beis, Agudin Chodesh. If you know anybody that was born today, they're not going to have too many birthdays. Because there's no 30th day of a regular Adar. So the 30th of Adar Aleph, normally even if you're born Adar Aleph, so your birthday is on Adar. But if you're born today, if you were born today, so it's the 30th of Adar. Adar doesn't have, the regular Adar only has 29 days. So you only have a birthday when there's another Aleph. So I have a nephew that was born. So we made a big party on Friday. We celebrated his, he says he's 21 years old, but we celebrated his 7th birthday.
I have a
lot of
my son,
so I don't know if it's going to go up. What? A what? Right. Okay, so we have the story. We have the mashal. We're in the Perek Tes of Shara Vodas Elohim, and the Nefesh is pressing the Seichel for some formula. And it tells him the story, and the story is of the people in this island that would make a stranger king over them for a year, and then they throw him out and send him out, and he wasn't allowed to take anything with him. He came, he left, and that was it. So the foolish one, or the person that didn't think, like, what am I doing here? Why would they make me king? Like, what's this all about? Who says it's going to last? But he acts as if it'll last forever. And as if he understands perfectly well, maybe he even starts thinking that he deserves to be king. You know how he goes. After a while, you stop believing your own press releases. and he imports everything. He takes all of his, anything he accumulated outside this island, he imports to the island, and he builds castles and palaces. And then at the end of the year, they say it's time to go. They put him on a raft and they ship him out. And he says, boy, like I wasted the year. I did nothing. I have nothing to show for it. Maybe I had a good time during the year, but I now have nothing to show for it. Not only that, but where I'm going back to, I can't believe it. Like, I used to have such a bank account there or something, and now I have nothing because I took all my money and I brought it into the kingdom. And now they ship me out. Mashenkin, then they appointed what he calls an Ish Navon, an intelligent person, who he became close with one person, and then he said, come here, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. You have to hear the Nimshal. He's never going to say the whole Nimshal, but his every nuance of his Moshal is brilliant, because you have to go to a Rebbe, and a Talmud Chacham, and a Rebbe, and say, well, teach me Torah, teach me what I'm doing here, teach me how I should act. And that's, every part of the Moshal is very exact, it's very powerful. So he says, you know, he goes over to one person and he says, this doesn't make sense, you have to tell me, you have to explain to me. And he became close with this person, and the person tells him the secret. And he says, this is what's going to happen. She says, oh boy. So he says, I have a year. So now, instead of importing everything, he exported. He took anything he could get his hands on, anything he was able to accomplish in this kingdom. He was able to accomplish things. He built, he made money, he did commerce, and he built up capital. But as soon as he built up capital, he exported it to where he's going to go. Anything he had in the city, in the island, he exported. And he had mixed feelings during this year on the island. He felt bad. He was ba'avelus, he was sorrowful that the year would come to an end, because he wants to export more. I would rather stay here. You know, I'd like to stay here and do more business, accumulate more capital, and export that. Like, I wish I was here for 2 years. And again, of course, we know the Nimshel. In the Nimshel, he's saying, it's good. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to die. You don't want to die. You want to live. But why do you want to live? Because this is the place where you accumulate capital. This is the only place you accumulate capital. The reason we would want life, when we say, Zachreinu l'chayim, melech chafetz b'chayim, v'chazveinu b'sefer ha'chayim, l'mancho elokim chayim. So Hashem is saying, like, what are you doing with your life? So in the Marshall, he's saying the person wants to stay on the island because he wants to continue to accumulate capital, because this is Gishmak. I accumulate capital and I send it out, and there I'm going to have it forever, you know, for a long period of time. Here I'm temporarily, but it's a good deal. As I stay here, I can accumulate. It's good to be here. He has mixed feelings. He doesn't enjoy it that much because he knows it's coming to an end very quickly. So he doesn't get enraptured with where he is. He doesn't lose himself and say, boy, I love it here. This is Gishmak. Because then the minute you say you love it here, really, then all of a sudden you forget about accumulating capital, and he becomes like the first person who had parties and started importing stuff so that he can enjoy himself more and more. But if you keep your wits about you, so then he describes very beautifully, vividly, mixed emotions. You're sad because it's very gishmak to stay here and accumulate capital that's going to be for a long time. So here you're only here for a short time, but you busy yourself accumulating capital and you have it for a long time. So that's why he said, "Misabul b'mehirus yitziosu me'itam." You know, I'm sorry, I can only be here a year. I wish I was here longer. Bal shemiyet be'enav mashemosi menachamudos. He keeps thinking, I should have done more. I could have done more. I could be doing more. I could be doing more. Why am I? Oh man! Like, he keeps thinking, maybe there's something I didn't do. Maybe there's something I can do more. Kiyim ha'ya omed. If he would be able to stay where he is, ha'ya motzi yoser. Does everyone have the place? But he's happy when it's time to leave. He's not so sick. It's like mixed emotions. You know, a famous story, the Gra on his deathbed was crying. And he said, what are you crying for? He said, well, you know, it's very, he held his tzitzis. He says, like, it's so, to be in this world where for a couple of prutos, whatever the pole, you know, in Vilna, whatever it was, a couple of grushin, you buy olam haba. Like, I don't want to leave such a world. We're, you know, for a couple of pennies, you can buy olam haba. It costs you a little money, big deal. But you're buying olam haba. Who wants to leave such a world? On the other hand, you're not in a, the thought of leaving the world is not terribly depressing, because you know where you're going. And you're going to the place where you sent all your capital and you have what to look forward to. You have your bank accounts are all there. And you're going to come there, and there you're going to stay for a long, 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 long time. And you have your bank accounts because you opened them. You know you sent out money and capital, and you opened accounts and you bought real estate there and you did all sorts of things there. It's all outside the city. The foolish first person imported and enjoyed himself for that year. He's saying, I'm the king, nothing I can't do. I'm going to live the life. I hope I never wake up. This is Gishmak being the king. And he never stopped to think. And this is the way it puts it, like, very, he never stopped to think, like, this really doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm a stranger. Like, why are they giving me these things? Why do I have these gifts? Why are they showering me with gifts? Like, why? There must be some rhyme and reason to it. It doesn't just happen. You don't just walk into a place and they give you all these things. But he doesn't stop to think. So he just says, this is Gishmak. And he, therefore, very logically, in his not thinking mode, So he does the logical thing. I'm going to import things and enjoy myself even more, even more, even more. I'm going to live it up even more, even more, even more.
What's the nimshal of importing?
The nimshal of importing is to squander the kochos you were given and to use it in pursuit of olam hazeh things. To take the kochos that Hashem gave you, and we all have kochos, and people that don't build up the capital for olam haba end up squandering it in olam hazeh, whether it's in pettiness or in taivis or in just physical things, or they don't keep Torah mitzvahs, so they're just eating to live, right? Or living to eat, I should say. Living to eat. So he feels bad, if he would stay there, but there's a part of him that's happy to leave because he's going to the place where he's meant to be. That's where his treasures are, and that's where he'll use it. Till now he's just saving it. He's very aware that he's not using his capital. It's just sitting somewhere in a bank, but he's going to go there soon, and then he's going to be spending it, then he's going to be using it. The nefesh betucha v'asmodos inyan. Ukeshomush nosos, when they came and they said, time's up, and they expected him to be like everyone else, to start screaming and struggling and crying and getting down and banging the floor and throwing a tantrum and saying, you can't do this to me, you can't do this to me, I'm the king, how can you do this to me? He goes, let's go, I'm ready, I know what's awaiting me, I'm looking forward to this, in a sense. Lo dog out say so some eat them. He didn't fight it. There's no reason to fight it. He said, okay. Ach miher ledaber besimcha slave u beseva ponim mishevach maaseyu vishtadluso v'holach l'tova rabba, and he went to a place where he had huge bank accounts. He was a millionaire. The Samach B'Shnei Yonim. This is a very, very clever, point. If you remember, by the first person, he said he ended up being what we call Kereach Mikan v'Kereach Mikan. The first one ended up with nothing, because all he did there was temporal and temporary, and then it was all taken away from him. He didn't have anything. And he didn't have anything where he went to, because he imported everything. So he had nothing. That was gone, because it was ephemeral, it lasted to the year. That was gone. And now he went to the new place, and he had no more capital. He squandered everything. This person is happy in both places. He used the year of his kingdom to build up his capital. And that's all he did. He focused on building up his capital outside. He exported. He built up his capital outside the island. So he was great. He lived on the island to its fullest degree. He lived there. He didn't go to sleep for a year. Doesn't say he went to sleep for a year, because he said, it's only a year. What am I going to gain here? He lived for a year, and he ordered people around, and he was king. He acted as king for a year. But what he did something that now he looks back, he says, I had a great year. That was great. I have such pleasure thinking about how I spent my year. I find fulfillment. I find accomplishment and fulfillment, because I used the year to accumulate the capital. So ironically, the first person has neither. We'll use the nimshal now. The first person has neither olam hazeh nor olam haba, and this person has both, because he used both to its fullest. Now the nefesh told the story. And it's a little weird. He says, "Vani yirei, I'm afraid. She yikreni mikrak sil. I'm going to act like the first person. Help me out here." Like, he gives this beautiful story and says, I'm afraid I'm like guy number one. I'm not guy number two. Help me out here. Right. He was busy before he came to the city and after he was in the city. The Hipsit Bishnayamakamas, and he lost everything because he imported what he had outside the city. And then he squandered it. He wasted it. Now he has nothing. He was thrown out of the city, out of the island. Says the nefesh to the seichel, Hashem was wise enough to give me seichel. Horeini, teach me. Horeini and yonai. Umashad madato Allah miso dvorai v'ofanei takonoso. So I'm not sure. Like what? So the seichel says, like, you just said it all. What do you want from me? Amar haseichel. You told me this beautiful story. Which is it? You don't need anything after this story. Just act rationally, act logically. You said the story yourself. So, like, how foolish could a person be already? Pretty foolish, actually. But how foolish can you be that you're asking me for help? You know the story. What's that you are in this world like the story of the kings you said. So you know Keruscha, the fact that you're here temporarily, you blink and before you know it's over. You know what you're supposed to do, you know how to accumulate capital. And so if you don't do it, if you don't accumulate the capital, what am I going to tell you? Like, what are you going to... If you don't... He's saying, look... Sounds like almost a pointless argument. He's saying, if you don't internalize this whole story that you hear in Olam Hazeh, and it's all temporal and temporary, and if you don't internalize that, nothing I could say to you is going to make a difference. I could teach you and yell at you and give you mussar and this. If you're missing this base, if you don't internalize this story, then you're just going to shrug and go on. Machpatli, like, you can listen to all Musa Shmuz and it's very stirring, and then people go outside, they go their merry ways. We all know that. We all probably have seen it. People just, so I can't. I'm not sure how I can help you. Says the Seichel to the Nefesh. I'm not sure how I can help you. You understand yourself. LMI, you're not internalizing it, so what? So what do you want from me? What am I supposed to do? How can I help you? Ain't toelus b'dvorei. Nothing I say is going to be able to overcome if you don't chop the first aleph that you hear on the desert island for a year. And Omra nefesh. So the nefesh is what's the answer back. I don't know what he answers. He says, just help me, look. Lulei chetzi b'dover lo yisi chokeres amashanela mimeni minyoni. I'm not sure, I didn't really delve into the back and forth of the Chavis Halavis. Like, it's just a little weird. It doesn't make sense. He's saying, like, look, if I knew what to do, I wouldn't be talking to you. Obviously, I'm not getting it. That's in the vernacular, that's what we would say, that the nefesh is saying to the seichel, but he's saying it about himself. Obviously I don't get it, because I'm standing here begging you to help me, and if I got it, I wouldn't need your help, as you yourself say. But, and you're telling me now, if I don't get it, then you can't help me, but I'm asking you for help, because I obviously don't get it, so help me. So the answer, you know, it's like asking someone, how are you, and they answer you. He now goes into pages and pages of a very very powerful description of why a person came down to this world, what gifts Hashem gave every person, and what you're supposed to do with these gifts. It's very, very practical and real and down to earth. It's very Ramchal. It's a bit of like Ramchal type thing, obviously. I mean, Chavis Lubavitch lived 700 years before the Ramchal. I mean, talking about Chavis Lubavitch lived before Rashi, before the Rambam, before...
Who was his contemporary?
He was a Talmud, apparently. It seems from his Agdoma of Rav Sadia Gaon. He refers to Emunas V'Deos in many places. And I think he refers to Rav Sadia Gaon as his Rebbe. But you're talking about the bridge between the Gonim and the Rishonim. I mean, like, we don't have... I mean, we have Emunas V'Deos, but, I mean, we have... So he now just, I mean, till now he talked about HaKoros HaTov, and we went through the whole good and Avodas Hashem and Torani, Ha'ora Toranis and Ha'ora Sichlis. Now he's like going back to like mamish basics, prime, like why was I sent down to this world? Like what? But he goes through now. We'll see. He goes through everything about a person, the physical aspects of a person, the spiritual aspects of a person, and how Hashem's... He's really describing how this king on the island was given every gift in the world to give him peak powers, peak physical powers, peak spiritual powers, everything he needs. We're not talking, but I can't fly, you know, I can't fly to the moon. Yeah, because... There's no purpose in you flying to the moon. But Hashem gave us a lot of Shar HaBechina here, because he goes through human biology. And he really goes through the whole person, and everything's a gift from Hashem. And Hashem gave you peak capacity, P-E-A-K. Not P-I-Q-U-E. Peak capacity to perform, to do, to think, to be, and he goes through so much kochus hanefesh. People could get angry, could remember, forget, do things, compare. The brain is like such an amazing thing. It could deduce reasoning, like all kinds of things. Like, your powers are limitless. Hashem gave you so much power. And he talks, and he describes it. He says this in a few places in the Sefer, and I'm not sure I understand it. I don't understand it fully, and I won't be able to do justice to it, that a person is a microcosm of the universe. And he describes the person's body as if it's as a universe, and it has guards and doors and openings to the outside world. We'll see. He now goes back to really basics. So dvarecha, shabori bracha milo davar. Hashem created you from nothing. It's from nothing. From nothing. B'chal ma sheborim and agromim haruchniyim. We start off with the person's neshama, and we say Hashem created you, and really you're a malach. I mean, because we're looking at a person's neshama before it came down to this world. So it didn't have bechira, and it wasn't able to do anything. It just carried out Ratzon Hashem. Right? But it didn't do anything. It wasn't creative. V'rotza, but Hashem wanted. So we're looking at the first the person, right? What's the person? The person is not the body, not the person. It's a beged. Tanya calls it a beged. The person is the person's neshama. That's a person. So we start. You okay? Yeah. So we start with the neshama, which is on malach status. We're talking with the dover ruchni.
But Rabbi Milinovitz, isn't the body such an integral part of?
He's going to explain how it's integral. He's starting from the beginning and taking you by the hand, and showing you the entire system that Hashem set up. You're jumping to his fifth step. He's up to his first step. He's starting from the beginning. In the beginning, you are an neshama. That's who you. So Hashem could have left you an neshama, and you would have been like the malachim. You would have had a good time. Maybe you would have gotten a name. Maybe it would have been your turn to say Shira one day, instead of just being one of the faceless 10 billion malachim. But Hashem, but you come from an even higher place than a malach, you see? You come from a higher place, something called Chelek Eloka Mimal, which we're not sure what it means. And Hashem wants to make you more than a malach. Hashem, you start off, you want to talk about gratitude, you start off, Hashem says, I want you to steig more than a malach. I want you to be more than a malach. Malach is kid stuff compared to what I want you to do. V'rotzu l'nosacha, to raise you. U'lahorim ma'aloscha, and to raise your qualities. Aid ma'ilas sguloso u'bechirov, his treasures and those who are close to him. Minakrovim el or kvodo, the closest to his or kvodo. It's not malachim. Malachim are lower down. Hashem wants you to be part of him, to bond with him, even more so than the, much more than the malachim. L'tov loch, this is the ultimate pleasure. U'lechesed imach, Hashem created you and says, I want you to come back to me and be part of me. That's quite a task. How is the neshama supposed to accomplish this? Right now, we're talking to the neshama. It's just the neshama. Like, what is it supposed to do? How can it? We'll think of it as arbitrary. And Hashem picked this neshama and said, "You're going to be bigger than the malachim." So how? V'lo hayoyso ruil uzeh el acher shlosh dvarim. So you're going to have to undergo three things to reach such a power, such a spiritual, perfect, pleasureful madrega. You're going to have to undergo three things. Three things are going to have to happen. Echad mehem, number one, hoser mesech leivelas meolayich v'hoyer loch b'dayto. You're going to have to acquire seichel. Hashem will bestow you with seichel, with intelligence, and you will have to use that intelligence. So that's the first major thing that Hashem is doing. He's giving you intelligence. Number two is he is making you choose. He's putting you in a situation where you will have to choose to listen to him or not, to be, fulfill his mitzvahs or not. Nasoschu v'choncho im tivchui ba'avodoso o ba'hamroso. Which is it? You're going to choose. That will, of course, necessitate coming down into a guf. That's where the guf will begin to fit in. Because it's in the guf that a person has to pursue pursuits and have nisyonos and make choices. But you will do it with the seichel of number one. So number one is Hashem has to grant you seichel. If Hashem doesn't grant you intelligence, it's, you know, it sounds funny to us, but that, Malachim have no intelligence. They don't figure things out. They just shluchei Hashem, that's all. Hashem just tells them what to do. There's no intelligence there. They're a golem. In the sense that they have we have no way of describing it. We have to use our words, the words that we use. It's like saying they have no thoughts. They have like a computer. They just do what they're told. So, but we were given intelligence. So right away in number one, we acquire a quality that the Malachim don't have. Number two is, we're put into a guf. Although he doesn't say that point, but I'm saying it. You're put into a guf because you have to make certain choices. Hashem wants you to make certain choices. Now the Malachim are now already in your dust. You're like 10 miles over more than the Malachim already. Malachim have no intelligence. Mm-hmm. What?
Also no guf.
And no guf to make choices, right? So the guf is for number two, because you have to make choices. Then number three is fascinating. Number three, you say, what's after number two? One and two says it all. Number three, amazing. Number three is that you're going to be in a place where there are difficulties, and you're going to grow. It's more than just making choices. See, number two isn't enough. Number two is you make choices. Okay. Number three is it's difficult to make these choices. It's not easy. And you keep on having obstacles that you have to overcome. And as you overcome the various obstacles, biyasrecha ba'olam hazeh. It's like amazing. It's like, if you ever think, sometimes I get very, it's very, very difficult. I didn't expect, like you hear people have issues. I mean, like I thought I was the only one. And really, we all stop and think sometimes. It is very comforting, the Chavis HaLavas. You know, I mean, it does help us. We still have to work, but you know, the more I see people have all sorts of issues, and it's very depressing sometimes. And, you know, you feel like, what's Hashem doing? Why does it have to be this way? Does it have to be this way? He says, okay, there's no Beis HaMikdash. And that's certainly part of the answer. Chavis HaLavas is saying here a remarkable thing. He's saying that's like so primary to our being. Primary. It's like Hashem, okay, premise one. Hashem took this neshama and said, I want you're going to the majors. The Malachim are in the minors, minor leagues. You're going to, like Rocky. It's Rocky. You can make a movie like Rocky with the neshama. Right? The guy finds Hashem's the manager. Hashem takes the neshama and says, kid, you're going places. I see potential here, and you go places. But A, you have to, I'm going to give you seichel, and you're going to have to use it. If you don't use it, without seichel, how are you going to become better than the Malachim? You have to have seichel to make choices, to do things, to figure things out. You have to have seichel. So I'm going to bestow you. That's from Hashem. Chochma is from Hashem. Chochma is an or eloki. It's not. Well, everything is an or eloki, but this is like this comes from Hashem essence. Hashem yitain chochma. Torah is Chochmas Hashem. It's Chochma. We're not talking about what an animal can think. Jonathan Sasson insists on showing me experiments that show that animals think. Okay, it could be they think, but so what? So it's a very low-level thinking. It's just a word, thinking. But certainly there's a person's thinking, whether it's called creative or ideas, or however you want to call it. There's no surprise to me that there's a gray area between pure instinct and intelligence. You know, so animals can be intelligent too, it's just words. But there's certainly a chokhmah that a human being has that an animal doesn't have. There's no question about that. So the question is, there's always like a spectrum, right, where you start with just instinct. And then it's just like this Bein HaShmashos, which is not night and not day. So you have an area where there's something going on there. So we'll call it intelligence, or we'll call it thinking. But I don't know, it's certainly a person. It's hashkafically wrong. Right? It's like sort of evolution. Like, it's hashkafically wrong to say, okay, we're just moving along in the spectrum. There's certainly a line where a person is given chachma from Hashem, and an animal is like different world. There might be a bridge between the worlds, just like there's a bridge between Yom Valayla. Right? The Gemara talks about this phenomena of people that are neither Zachar nor Nekeva, right? And the Mishnayos talk about creatures that are neither animal nor man. Right? It's sort of a half-half. Even if there's no mermaids, right? But the Gemara talks about a Yadua, that's a kind of animal that is described by Rishonim as half man and half beast. Right? So,
Do they still exist?
I never saw one. So, number one is Chachma. Amazing, the Chavis HaLavas. Number one is Chachma. Number two is to choose to listen to Hashem, Bechira. And number three, three primary things. Number three is to overcome difficulties and make the choices to do it despite all the obstacles. Hashem is like throwing obstacles at us. And each neshama gets the obstacle tailor-made for that neshama. That neshama will perfect itself by overcoming that obstacle. But like, if you know, in a weird sort of way, it's comforting. You know, you say, why is there so much pain out there? And then that's, okay, so, a big part of it is Beis HaMikdash and Golos, and Shechinas and Golos. But you read this Chaim Salavas, he's like, yeah, that's the human condition. That's the way it's going to be. And it's there so that we not just make Bechira, but grow. As he says, all these things you read about in these inspirational books, the Lover says it very starkly. He says, there's three things you need to become higher than the Malachim, which is your goal. Hashem said, you know, Raki, Mamash Raki. Hashem said this, and this is it, and this is how you're going to do it. I give you intelligence, and I'm going to see what kind of choices you make, and I'm going to give you obstacles, so that, because, you know, it's stagnating, choices are stagnating, you know, so what do you do tomorrow or next year? At some point you finish your choices, and you have to keep working, and Hashem throws all kinds of things at you so that you have nisyonos and you overcome them. And that's in that, you mamish, you're in the process of it's a makeover. You're in the process of a makeover to become higher than a malach, as high as an entity could go. Okay, we'll pick it up from here.
Rabbi, I'm a little bit, isn't the difference between man and animals, the ability of man to have abstract thought?
Okay, so I'm saying at some point, then you have to define abstract thoughts, you know. They have these experiments. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying. At some point, there is something that defines human intelligence. I am agreeing. Okay, I guess in 2 weeks we're not learning. But 2 weeks is four. Why not? Oh, I grabbed the hand. Okay. Well.